So this is something extraordinary. How is it that the Quran, we have not examined the Quran. As an ummah, we have a romantic attachment to the Quran. Most of us say, oh, the Quran, what a great book, and have never even read it. They've never read it, right? We're like people in the restaurant who look at the menu for 50 years and never order to taste the food. We just look at the headlines, right? Right? You go into the restaurant and it says shish kebab, and you don't even know what that is. And you just look at it and stare at it. And the garçon comes to the table and says, would you like to take your order? I'm still thinking about it. Right? Really, that's what we're like. We're like people that have never bothered to taste the food that Allah has given us. Food for thought. Right? Food for thought. The Quran, and this is why this romantic attachment to Islam is a flimsy attachment. It's an attachment that leads to extremities. It's an attachment that leads to passion when one is impassioned. And passion, as every ancient Arab knows, is something that is incompatible with the intellect. Like in the story Imam al-Qushayri mentions about the Usfur, there was a sparrow on the top of Suleiman's place of worship, and he was trying to convince a female sparrow that he was a worthy mate, and she wasn't paying any attention. This is a story. And he said, you know, if I wanted, I'd turn this dome right over on the head of Suleiman for you. And so Suleiman, who knew the, alayhi salam, who knew the interpretation of the birds, called him down. And he comes down, he's all shaking, and his little sparrow heart's beating. And he says, Suleiman, alayhi salam, says to him, What made you say that ridiculous remark? And the sparrow said, oh, Prophet of Allah, don't you know that lovers are never taken into account for what they say in the presence of their beloved? Right? In other words, I was in a state of passion. You can't take me into account. And this is the reality of, you see, we have these passionate displays. In fact, there was something somebody told me about. I didn't see this, but there was a demonstration, I think it was in Canada, and they fought. The Muslims were fighting over who was going to lead the demonstration against the bombing of Iraq. Right? This is a disease of the heart. It's called hubur riyasa, love of leadership. I'm the leader. I'm the spokesman here. Really, it's a disease. And I'll tell you something about this age. This is an age, it's a leaderless age. It is a leaderless age. Because the one prerequisite of leadership is not there. And that is that you don't desire it. Because if you desire it according to the hadith, you're not allowed to have it. We don't give هذا الأمر لمن يطلبه أو يحرص عليه. We don't give this affair, meaning ruler, governance, leadership, to anyone who seeks it or covets it once he obtains it. That gives an end to election day. It's over. Right? Vote for me. That is the sign that you shouldn't vote for him. Seriously, the only he was a frightening military leader, but the only leader that the Americans probably ever should have had was Sherman, Tecumseh Sherman, who said when he was asked to run for president, he said no. If nominated, I wouldn't run, and if elected, I wouldn't rule. That sign there is a sign that that should be the man that they should put forward. Not the man saying, vote for me, right? I'm the proper ruler. I can help you out. That's the man, he can't help you out because he's too busy seeking power, right? Really, it's a disease in the heart. They love it. They want to, this is why that man, couldn't step down. This man can't step down. He couldn't even dignify the American people by resigning before this whole thing came out. Just be a dignified human being and say, I made a mistake, and it was a mistake that makes me unworthy to be the moral leader of the United States. Because the president is also considered the moral leader. They understand that concept within their own tradition. He's incapable because his moral flaws are too great. Right? We can't. If an imam did something like that, that's it. It's over. You know, he'll have to come into the masjid if he comes in with his head bowed down and never say another word in public because he's been disgraced. And you don't want that person put forward as an example. In fact, one of the things they noted in the newspapers was after that scandal, suddenly the use of foul and descriptive language became commonplace in all of their major newspapers. Things that young people are reading, the children are reading. And suddenly these things are belittled. And this is the destruction of the moral fiber of the society, whatever's left of it. There's not much left, right? It's like whole wheat bread and white bread, right? Seriously, there's no bran there. There's no moral fiber. It's gone. It's junk food, right? You have junk souls. And that's really, this is a serious crisis. And like Sidi Muhammad Sharif said, we have the religion that can transform these people and make them great people. Because these people, not only the Canadians, but the North Americans in general, have the potential for greatness. They have the potential, and we have to recognize that. They have worked wonders in the world. And if they would transform their energies and make it for the sake of Allah instead of the sake of dunya, they would work wonders for Islam. And we should desire their guidance. We should desire their guidance. We should not desire their destruction. We should desire their guidance. We should desire the destruction of the worst elements of that society that is corrupting the best elements of it. Because there are evil people. And there are. We have to deal with that. That is a reality in our tradition. There are evil people with evil ideas and evil thoughts, and they set out to corrupt the hearts of human beings.